Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Hi, my name is Chris McAlea, your host today, and we are going to be considering this morning Acts chapter 5 as we continue to look through the book of Acts here on Mornings for the Master. We look at a chapter each day as we walk through the New Testament. Now, before we do that, though, we want to begin, as always, with some announcements. And two things we want to bring to you this morning, and one of those is that the Northeast Texas Summer Youth Series will begin on June the 6th. And this year's topic is Claiming Heaven's Vocabulary, as the youth series will be looking at different words and how they should be used. Perhaps maybe they've been used incorrectly. And we're going to look at gaining understanding in some of these areas. That is going to begin June 6th. The schedule, the weekly schedule and locations will be announced here in the next couple of weeks. And so be making plans for Monday evenings through the summer beginning June the 6th. Also, you are invited to the Longview Church of Christ, their open house gospel meeting. This will be held May 15th through the 18th, 2016. The speaker is Maxie Boren of Bedford, Texas, and everyone is invited. This will begin Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Will You Be Called a Fool at Judgment? At 10 a.m., Are We Doing What We Can? At 6 p.m., Jesus Was a Preacher. Then Monday at 7 p.m., What Did Jesus Mean by the New Birth? Tuesday at 7 p.m., The Seven Ones of Ephesians chapter 4, and then concluding Wednesday the 18th with Why I Love the Lord's Church So Much. The Longview Church of Christ is located at 1401 Eden Drive in Longview, Texas. The number to contact them for more information is 903-236-0988 or visit www.longviewchurchofchrist.org. Have you considered these matters of eternal consequence? That's the May 15th through the 18th at the Longview Church of Christ in Longview, Texas. Okay, we're going to take a short break. And this time, if you would, get your Bibles ready, your pen and paper, and let's take a look at the fifth chapter of Acts when we come back in just a moment. Back to Mornings for the Master. The fifth chapter of Acts begins with a very important event. That being Ananias and Sapphira. Beginning in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, Yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church, and upon all who heard these things. Now back to verse 1, a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. As we begin this fifth chapter of Acts, before us is the first recorded instance of sin taking place by members of Christ's church. Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of land, and this was certainly their right, both legally in the physical kingdom, legally in the spiritual kingdom. They certainly had the right to sell a piece of land. But the problem is that they falsely represented themselves before the apostles and the church by saying that they gave the whole amount of the sale to the church. Now, they had the right to give it all or to keep a portion back, but they did not correctly represent what they did. Perhaps this was motivated because of jealousy. Perhaps it was motivated because of all of the attention, perhaps, that Barnabas had received previously in chapter 4. Or perhaps the attention that many of these others who had sold everything. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Those are not words anyone would want to hear, for sure. Peter confronted Ananias regarding his sin. And my friend, the Holy Spirit is not one that you should lie to. Peter said to him, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Now, we need to understand the principle that in this age, in the days following the miraculous times of the first century, that Satan has no more power over a man than what the man will give him. Satan has only the power over you that you allow him to have. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Peter points out that while the land belonged to Ananias and Sapphira, that he was able to do however he pleased with the land. Notice that Peter said, while it was remained, was it not your own? Ananias did not have to sell the land. The Lord did not require men to sell their land. Ananias could have rightly kept the proceeds from the land. This was not sin as long as he gave back the rightful portion to God. The sin was misrepresenting, creating the false impression that they were giving all of the proceeds to the church. Now, Peter makes very clear that the Holy Spirit is God. Peter told Ananias that they had lied to the Holy Spirit in verse 2. And notice at the end of verse 4, "You have not lied to men, but to God." And he also points it out again later in verse 9. When Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied to the apostles, they were also lying to God, because they were fully empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so they had lied to God. We must avoid the sinful arrogance that is common among men, and in this day and age is certainly common, as men daily attempt to hide things from God. You see, the case of Ananias and Sapphira is not simply ancient history, for the same things happen on a daily basis in 2016. The only difference is the names of Ananias and Sapphira have been changed to protect the guilty, as we might paraphrase from the old television show of many years ago. In verse 5, then we see the response here from Ananias at the rebuke of Peter. "Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him." This is a critical moment in the early days of the church. If Satan could successfully use Ananias here to somehow trick and deceive and derail the apostles, who, remember, were filled with the Holy Spirit, the church, and the apostles would thus be proven false. They would be discredited, and with all of their credibility gone, they would be of no use. Now, the scripture does not reveal to us the amount of knowledge that Peter had in this issue beforehand regarding the punishment that would take place to Ananias and Sapphira. And the scripture certainly does not point to Peter as the cause of their death. It's more logical to see this as a direct act of God, of which Peter was the witness. This episode should cause us to recall a similar event many centuries before, that of Nadab and Abihu so many years before. It reminds us of the thought of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So many men today have forgotten that. They no longer fear God. He doesn't act in a direct way and instantly as in those times. And so we mistake his long suffering with man for lack of action. Verse 7 says that now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. So about 3 hours after the death of Ananias, we see Sapphira arrive on the scene. She doesn't know the things that have taken place. Possibly Peter had told those who were present at the death of Ananias to say nothing to Sapphira. And without a doubt, we consider what they had witnessed taking place, they would not have failed to follow instruction to remain silent to Sapphira. It would seem unlikely that no one would tell her of the death of her husband, lest they were instructed not to do so. But that is just speculation. In verse 8, and Peter answered her, "Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much?" She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Peter gave her the opportunity to confess her sin. In verse 8, he said, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She could have come clean at this point, but instead she chose to lie to Peter. And by lying to Peter, who was fully empowered by the Holy Spirit, she had lied to the Holy Spirit, and that is to lie to God. Her sin was now fully exposed. How often we forget the old warning that your sin will find you out. By Their actions, Ananias and Sapphira, had mocked the Holy Spirit. That was a bad mistake to make. And again, notice the bone-chilling words of Peter in verse 9. How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Ananias and Sapphira would join those like Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Eli, and more recently Judas, in the roll call of those who had failed. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all those who heard these things. We need to learn the lesson of Ananias and Sapphira. They attempted to deceive others into believing they had given more than they actually had. You see, when that is the case, one's giving has become motivated by selfishness rather than love. Paul pointed out to those in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Oh, what a lesson we need to learn from the case of Ananias and Sapphira. Next, our chapter this morning turns to the continuing power in the church, beginning in verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, let's go back to verse 12. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. We see the apostles working many miraculous events, and we see that they were all in one accord. Apparently, they would gather at Solomon's porch, which was a part of the temple. Because they were in one accord, we see that the apostles were fulfilling Jesus' prayer for unity in John chapter 17. The saints today need to do the same thing. We need to fulfill Jesus' prayer for unity. The people were holding the apostles up in high esteem, but we see that they were afraid to join them. Perhaps some of this was the fear that had come upon the church after the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Verse 14 said that believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. The apostles were sounding forth and proclaiming the gospel message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here, Brother Luke reports to us that multitudes of both men and women were responding to the power of the gospel message. Think back to those days right after Pentecost in chapter 2, in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. But who was it that the Lord was adding to his church? It is those who were being baptized that he was adding to his church. Let's back up to verse 37 there in chapter 2. And consider the words here. This is right as Peter had finished preaching the very first gospel sermon on that day of Pentecost. He had told the people that it was their sin that had put Jesus on the cross. They were the very ones. And here we find them believing the words of Peter and wanting to know how the problem could be fixed, that being their sin problem. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. The discipline brought about by the sin of Ananias and Sapphira led to growth and blessings upon the church, just as Israel prospered after the events concerning Achan back in Joshua chapter 7. Verse 15 from our text says, "So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." People were coming to the apostles to be helped with their infirmities. And notice at the end of verse 16, "and they were all healed." And so, as you can count on, as always the case, when the gospel message was being prospering, you can always count on opposition. And verses 17 through 24 point out the increasing opposition of the Sadducees. Verse 17, "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, and brought them out, and said, Go, stand in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, Indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be." Again, back to the 17th verse. "Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation." The anger of the Sadducees had now reached a boiling point. And the one who should have been the leader for the nation, the spiritual leader, the high priest, was at the forefront of this mob. It says in verse 18, "They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison." They arrested the apostles and cast them into the prison. In fact, if you'll notice verse 29, the indication here would seem that it was quite possibly all 12 of the apostles. In verse 19, "But at night an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." The apostles were freed from the prison by an angel of the Lord. The angel instructs the apostles then to go to the temple, and when there, to preach the word. God had delivered his servants. And thus, being delivered and freed again, they were to go right back to the business of proclaiming that very word. Jesus had told them in Matthew 28:20 that he would be with them always, even to the very end of the age. And so what they were doing here, make no mistake, was a very dangerous undertaking. To escape from the prison, to go straight to the temple, and immediately preach the very word that they had been cast into prison for. But that is exactly what the apostles did. But we shouldn't be surprised. Do you recall the words of Peter and John earlier? But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the church of, of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them bought. So, we see that in obedience to the command of the angel, the next morning, bright and early, the apostles were found in the temple preaching the gospel. And also, we can clearly understand that this did not set well with the high priest and the Sadducees. And so, in their anger, they called the council into session and called for the apostles to be brought before the court. Verse 22. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely, and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Can you picture the thoughts and the look on the faces of the guards to find the prison door still locked and the apostles, of whom they had charge over, no longer there? The angel of the Lord had brought the apostles out to freedom, and the guards were not even aware of it. 24. Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. They could only be more angry. They would only be more fearful of the people's reaction. You see, the cause in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ was not stopped by the cross, and they were no more going to silence the apostles than they had silenced Christ, even though they hung him upon that cross. And so now, in the next few verses, we see the apostles now as they are brought before the council. Let's continue in verse 25. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with the officers and brought them out without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. 25 said, so note one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. The report had gone out that the apostles had disappeared from the prison. And so the captain of the temple is sent out to apprehend them and to bring them before the Sanhedrin Council. In 26, then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. They were not going to use violence at this time, though they would have loved to, but their fear of the people would keep them from doing that. The people knew the wondrous works that had been worked, and they were afraid the people might stone them if they took the apostles with violence. The apostles would not resist them with violence, just as the Lord had done previously. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." In front of the council, the high priest warned them of the previous warning that they had been given concerning the preaching of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 28 that the high priest would not even mention the name of Jesus. He said, "In this name." Isn't it odd that he accused the apostles of trying to bring the blood of Jesus upon them? They had earlier invited that very same thing upon themselves. They asked for it. And now they accused the apostles of doing what they had asked for. Go back to Matthew chapter 27 in verse 25, and this is important, for it certainly illustrates the hypocrisy of these Jews. Matthew 27, verse 25, "And all the people answered and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.'" He also said in verse 8, or they hear the Sadducees of the council accuse them of filling Jerusalem with their doctrine. Yes, they were correct in this statement, for that is exactly what the apostles were doing. They were filling Jerusalem with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. How much better would the world be if more men would make the statement that Peter and the apostles did in response in verse 29? "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" What would happen in this country or any country if men rose up and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men"? Now make no mistake, a Christian will always be the best citizen of any nation. A Christian will obey the law of the land. The only exception to a Christian's obedience to the law of the land is when it conflicts with God's law. The law of God must always take precedence in all matters. They only violated the Jews' commands because they were contrary to God's laws. It is also important for us to note that they were willing to take the punishment meted out by the secular authorities if it was deemed necessary. They would accept willingly whatever punishment was brought upon them. In verse 30, the apostles pointed out that the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be Prince and Savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. A scene similar to that witnessed earlier at Pentecost. Peter and the apostles point out that they were the very ones that crucified Jesus, and they were the very ones that had put Jesus upon the cross. They point out that God has raised him up as the Prince and Savior of Israel. Jesus has been given the power to offer forgiveness of sin. And it is the gospel that brings forth the opportunity for man to repent and to receive the forgiveness of sin in baptism. Verse 32, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The apostles had been given the Holy Spirit. If the things the apostles said and did were false, it would also mean the Holy Spirit was a liar as well as the apostles. And it is a truth that God cannot lie, and because the Holy Spirit is God, it was impossible for the Holy Spirit working through the apostles to lie. The apostles were witnesses to the ministry of Jesus. They were witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they spoke with infallible words given by the power of the Holy Spirit in those earliest days before the written word was to be completed. And now, in our last section of the chapter this morning, we see the meeting of the council and Gamaliel's address to the council in response to the apostles. Now let's look at verses 33 to the end of the chapter. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Now, verse 33 said when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. The gospel will always have an effect on people, some good and some bad. Obviously, the gospel angered those of the Sanhedrin. Verse 34 says, then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. Gamaliel was a lawyer. He was greatly respected by the people, and now he shows us why he was held up so highly. In fact, Gamaliel was a mentor to Saul of Tarsus, according to chapter 22 and verse 3, where Saul said, I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. Now don't misunderstand, Gamaliel was not sympathetic to the cause of the apostles, but he was smart enough to know that if the apostles were from God, they could not prevail against them. 35, and he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Gamaliel gives us an example that previously occurred and urged the council to be very cautious in the way they proceeded. He mentioned a Theudas who had also been among several others in the past that caused a great stir and controversy among the people. But their efforts always came to naught, and obviously they were not from God. Gamaliel is just pointing out that the apostles will have the same end result of those other men if they're not from God, and if they're from God, the council would not be able to stop them anyway. And so he gives him wise words here in 38, and now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. So Gamaliel advises the council to do nothing about the apostles and let time run its course. He gave a reason why they should not harm the apostles, even though they did not accept the gospel they taught. Men, however, need to investigate the evidence, prove what is true, and hold fast to it, but they would not do that. Instead, they chose to sit around and wait and see what would happen. The men of the council were not very wise, verse 40, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. The council heeded Gamaliel's advice, except they did choose to beat them up before they let them go. The apostles rejoiced that they were considered worthy enough to suffer for the cause of Christ. Where is our attitude today? Where does yours stand? Would you be willing to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ? Would you be able to rejoice in that suffering? Satan was working very hard using the powers that be of the first century to stop the church. How clear is it today that Satan is also working very hard today, using the powers that be to stop the church? Where do you stand this morning, and what are you going to do with Jesus? Our time is about up. I hope that you have benefited from this lesson. We urge you to let us know if we can assist you in any way. Perhaps you'd like to become a Christian. Perhaps you're a Christian who has fallen and would like prayers for strength and support from other Christians. Let us know at office@tgrn.org. We'd be happy to help you. You can call us toll-free at 844-367-8476. We'd be glad to help you. Remember, tomorrow, if the Lord wills, Brother Grota and Hendricks will be discussing the 6th chapter of this book of Acts. If the Lord wills, I'll be with you again next Thursday. So until next time, this is Chris McAleay saying so long and have a great day.